What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Browns, Giants, Sunday afternoon, Huntington Bank Field. Browns trying to go 2-1. Giants trying to go 1-2. Trying to get a win. They nearly won against Washington. What's it going to take to beat the New York Giants? How well does Deshaun Watson have to play to beat the New York Giants? Well, to answer those questions, we welcome in Nathan Zagura. He is the color analyst all along the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He'll be in the booth with Andrew Siciliano on Sunday. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, Monfrere. Great to be with you.
Nathan appears on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, how well does Deshaun Watson have to play to get a win on Sunday?
It's the ultimate team game, Ken. And quite frankly, look, the Browns are the better team here. And I think if they avoid turnovers, they will win this game. The Browns are 15-2 under Kevin Stefanski when they do not turn the football over. And this is the New York Giants team that is overmatched. This is one of the worst offenses in the NFL over their last eight starts with Daniel Jones at quarterback. They're 1-7. They're averaging 15 points a game, 159 passing yards per game, 4 touchdowns, 8 picks. They're giving up 5 sacks a game. I mean, when you talk about a perfect matchup for what our defense does, they feast on bad quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, outside of that 2022 season, has not been a very good quarterback. And so I would expect the Browns to be able to get a lot of pressure and then be able to play their defense behind that and really stifle this Giants team. And then offensively, you know, I like what Deshaun Watson showed down in Jacksonville. Quarterbacks so far this season are completing 79% of their passes and have a rating of 105.5 against the Giants. So I look for Deshaun to play well, but I think the real secret in this one is going to be the combination of Deontay Foreman and Jerome Ford on the ground against a Giants team that's given up almost 140 yards rushing per game to running backs at nearly 6 yards per carry. They have been one of the worst run defenses in the league last week in Washington. Robinson ran for a 133 against them. So I think that this could be a big game for the Browns on the ground and then defensively just go after Danny Dimes and get some turnovers.
I thought lost in a lot of the analysis from last week was just how effective that running game was at times. And of course you had a big run that was negated with the penalty with the face mask. But overall, I thought the running game got going, and I thought that opened things up for the offense a little bit last week.
Well, they came out, and I think that you're exactly right. Something that I certainly have been highlighting. They came out big with Deontay Foreman, and on the first run of the game, you know, showed that, all right, we're going to be physical. We're going to get back to running the football a little bit. And Foreman and Ford combined for 21 carries for 106 yards. So that's exactly what you would have wanted to see from this ground game. And in fact, you pointed out correctly, there were not only one, there were three good Deontay Foreman runs that cost them probably about 30 yards that were called back due to penalty. So they have that ground game going. You're going to need to see more of that in this game against the Giants, because the Giants do a couple things that are interesting. They play a lot of zone, and they play the most off coverage in the league. And what I mean by the most off coverage, they play a lot of off coverage, but their cushion that they give is bigger than any team in the league. So if you can get the ground game going, force some of these people to come down a little bit, or then attack them on the outside with a quick passing game, I think the Browns should be able to have a consistent flow to their offense. But that, getting back to that physicality, I thought it was wild that Deontay Foreman didn't play in week one. And I think clearly everybody in the organization said, wait a second, we need to get this guy out there. And I expect him to have a very big game on Sunday against the Giants.
Sounds good to me. Nathan Zagura joining us here on the show. Defensively, I didn't think it was that bad as what some of us made it out to be in week one against Dallas. It was downright suffocating against Jacksonville. You mentioned Daniel Jones. You gave him way more respect than I will within that offense. I didn't even think 2020 was as good as what people make it out to be. But you know what? The rest of it's been rough, so let's let him have 2020. Can you get to him early and keep him off kilter, or do they kind of see what they can do to unlock that offense?
No, listen, the truth is this game is about doing two things. One, it is stopping Devin Singletary on the ground and containing Daniel Jones. And then two, and most importantly, it's about Malik Nabers. And I know the Browns do not like to double-team guys. We play our defense, but if there ever was a week where maybe you'd like to mix some of that in, this is the week. Last week, Malik Nabers, the 6th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, he was targeted on 18 of the 27 targeted passes thrown by Daniel Jones. 18 of 27, that's 66.7%. That is the highest rate in a decade in a game for a single player. So far this year, he leads the NFL in target share. He's 2nd in catches, 4th in yards, 3rd in first downs, and he is 1st with 5 catches of 20 yards or more, also 3rd in yards after the catch with 106. He is their offense. He is their offense almost, you can almost say period at the end. I mentioned Singletary, you still have to stop him, and obviously you give the Browns some fits last year with Houston, but if you can stop Nabers, he's got more receiving yards than everybody else on the team combined through 2 games. That has to be a focus in this one, and I think that is the key. If you do not allow explosives to Nabers, by the way, Daniel Jones has thrown 5 passes more than 20 yards in the air. All 5 have been targeted to Malik Nabers. If you can stop Nabers and limit his effectiveness, I don't really see what this offense has that scares you. Wandale Robinson averages below 10 yards a catch for his career. Darius Slayton's got some speed, but I like our corner matchups with Slayton one-on-one. So if you can stop Nabers, not allow him to hit some of those chunk plays, I really think that it's going to be tough sledding for this Giants offense against the Browns defense.
Nathan Zagura with us right now on the hotline. So coming into the season, we were wondering when this new offense would get firing, when we would see it look like some of the rumors of a Ken Dorsey offense would look like. Through 2 weeks, what have you seen? What is the identity of that offense?
Well, I think it's an offense that can be very multiple, and you can see we can cut with Harrison, Zach Zinter, and that probably feels more like traditional Kevin Stefanski stuff, and hit that. And then you can also get in a situation where you go empty and run a quarterback draw. That's definitely more Ken Dorsey stuff that led to the Browns' touchdown down at the goal line. I think you're starting to see a little bit more of it. They've got to be more disciplined in their motions, that the second guy can't start motion until the first guy's been fully set for a second. That negated a couple of big plays for the Browns in this game, but I think you're seeing some of the pre-snap motions, and the week was up significantly in week 2. Some of those shotgun concepts and even some of the shotgun run game that the Browns are utilizing are definitely signs of what Kevin Stefanski has allowed Ken Dorsey to incorporate into this offense. So you're seeing it. I thought that first drive was such good rhythm. And then if they can maintain that, the truth of the matter is we're not going to see this offense unlock until they stop shooting themselves in the foot. And what I mean by that is penalties. The Browns lead the league in penalties overall. The Browns lead the league in offensive penalties. The Browns also lead the league in drop passes. I think once we can kind of eliminate some of those self-inflicted wounds, you're going to really see this offense start to go. But I know Amari Cooper is going to bounce back. I love what I've seen from Jerry Jeudy. I think he is looking.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very, very good in the early going here with the Browns.
Remember, DEFCON 1 is the highest rate of panic. DEFCON 5 is the lowest.
People miss this all the time.
They do. What DEFCON is Amari Cooper right now with us?
The lowest. Absolutely.
DEFCON 5.
Did you say the lowest because you forgot the explanation already?
You forgot the explanation, didn't he?
Yeah, because then you guys are saying it, and I was like, wait a second, that's a higher number. No, DEFCON 1's the worst.
Yeah, DEFCON 1 is you get ready to bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah, we're DEFCON 5. We're not even on the DEF. We don't get a DEFCON ranking.
Well, wait a minute. There's one man who is a veteran of the armed forces here. Is everything DEFCON 5, or is there no such thing as DEFCON if everything's fine? Yeah. You're off the DEFCON.
Oh, and you've watched War Games with Matthew Broderick?
Of course, every day I watch
it. Oh, great movie. It's a great movie.
I mean, the whole movie
I'm not concerned at all. And I thought, Amari Cooper was very introspective yesterday.
You've seen Crimson Tide with Gene Hackman?
The whole movie's about the DEFCON system. I mean, it's important to note.
Go ahead.
It is important.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The more you know.
Nathan, DEFCON of this interview.
I thought Amari Cooper was very introspective yesterday and said, maybe he had gotten a little bit away from some of the things that he needs to do in order to be the player that he has been. And he's going to it's been a wake-up call, he said, and going to rededicate himself to those things.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the show. This is just asinine. How close is Jed Wills?
Very. I think it is. Definitely within the realm of possibility that you will see Jed Wills at left tackle for the Cleveland Browns against the Giants.
So Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah wore the Guardian cap on Sunday. I saw Jabril Peppers wearing one yesterday.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah. What's your thoughts? Lyme and I, we had our opinions of it. We are pro Guardian cap. Where do you stand on these matters, Nathan?
I'll be honest, I wasn't that excited about seeing them in games. I thought it might look ridiculous, but to be honest with you, the way that they have been able to make them look like the helmets, sure you notice it, but not really. Even when we were up in the booth, you didn't really notice that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was wearing it, and he said it didn't affect his speed, and clearly not. He had a team-high 7 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss in that game against the Jags. Then if he feels safer in it and still feels like he can play the way he wants to, I'm all for it. So good for JOK, and I saw Jabril last night as well.
Do you think that this is something that stays, or do you think that they will develop something that gives it still a outer shell that resembles current helmets someday?
The latter. And they already have a helmet that out right now that you don't even have to wear a Guardian cap in practice if you wear that particular helmet because it is on par with that. So, yes, I think that I don't think we'll ever get into a situation where you need to have the Guardian caps on. I think that the helmet technology will outpace that, and you will have a wide range and selection of helmets that match that standard.
All right. Nathan Zagura joining us here on the show. Too high safety. Is this an epidemic that is plaguing the NFL right now?
That was one of the most insane things. Mel Kiper saying they need to ban the too high safeties. It's been around for forever. Teams have played Tampa 2. That goes back to Dungy with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, how long ago was that? A long time ago. People have been playing too high safeties forever. There are ways to attack every single coverage. I think that what I really think the change is, number one, teams are moving the ball similarly to how they have in years past. Teams have been worse on third down this year than ever before. Think about this. The Browns last year were number one in third down defense at, 29%? And that was the best it had been since, the 2000s. The Browns this year are 30% on third down, so basically exactly what they were last year. And through 2 weeks, that's 10th best in the NFL. Red zone offense has been worse than it's ever been through the first 2 weeks of the season. Third down offense has been worse than it's ever been through the first 2 weeks of the season. That's not because of too high safeties. That's just because I think that everybody kind of takes the off season off, and I think that makes it very difficult to come out and be firing on all cylinders and what you have to be so precise in NFL offense. And I'm not even saying that the preseason matters as much in terms of the carryover, but it seems that there's a little bit of a struggle there. And then the other thing is the NFL has evolved. Think about this. The Browns were playing against the Jags, single high safety, and we play more single high than anybody. You heard Jim Schwartz talk about how that can also be very effective. And you think of the Legion of Boom and that, Seattle cover 3 defense that they ran, and that was the best defense in the league for a long time. So you can be a great single high defense. You can be a great 2 high defense, but there are ways to beat all the various coverage families. The linebackers for the Browns, and I'm going to call Grant Delpit a linebacker for this purpose, is because when we play single high, he's down there in the box, and our 3 across would be JOK, Jordan Hicks, and Grant Delpit. Jordan Hicks is the biggest of those guys. He's 6'1", 230. JOK, 6'2", 220. Delpit, 6'3", 208. those are the linebackers now. And they are able to play the run effectively because they're able to shoot gaps and still tackle. Now, those guys, think about what they're able to do in coverage and the ground that they are able to cover in zone defenses. Part of the reason that the Tampa 2 was so effective was that Derek Brooks was transformative in his athletic ability and the ability to run with the seam routes up the middle and run with tight ends and receivers. Now all these guys can do it.
Yeah.
They can cover all that space, and so the windows are smaller, and when they play kind of some of those shell concepts, the two high safety concepts, really it's about they're telling you have to throw it underneath, and teams will do that, and then they are so fast to the ball. So that, you know, Yak is down, especially against zone coverage, across the board. And that makes it more difficult, I think, for offenses. The way I think you're going to have, and you're starting to see a little bit more, teams are going to have to try to run defenses out of some of these looks and some of these personnel groupings to create easier ways to throw. Or you try to use, for example, the Browns will use, you know, the two, Zach Zinter and Nick Harris, to try to get bigger guys on the field and some of the smaller guys off, and then you take a shot down the field.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it's headed right now. It ebbs and flows, but I really think the fact that you have 220-pound linebackers who can run with receivers has changed everything about defense in the intermediate game.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you on Sunday. All the best, buddy.
Ken and Lima, always a pleasure. Let me just say this. Guys, everybody, get into your guys, gals, everyone, get your seats a little bit early. We have the Browns Legends induction, and Phil Dawson and Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, being honored and inducted before the game. And I think it's going to be a very special, very emotional ceremony. And it's a great honor for both Phil and for Jim. And I couldn't be happier for those two.
Absolutely. Great advice. Nathan, we'll talk to you on Sunday, buddy. All the best.
All right. Thanks.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.